It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the latest edition of First Down Snapcast. I'm your host, Richard Butler, and joining me tonight is former NFL tight end Derek Brown. How are you doing, Derek?
Doing well, my friend.
Good, good. We'll get straight into it. So, college career down at Notre Dame. Your final two seasons there were, by college standards, very impressive in your position. Were you always confident in your ability, and did it help playing with a great team in Notre Dame that it made your numbers achieve, made him work well?
Yeah, you know, I was very fortunate. Where I went to high school was actually a pretty big football school. So for me, the transition going from college or from high school to college wasn't a huge, huge deal. A lot of guys from my high school went on to play at Miami, Florida State, Auburn. I played with three of the guys on my team that played pro football. So that really wasn't the biggest difference, a huge difference, I should say, going from high school to Notre Dame. You know, looking back, I would have never known that we would be as good as we were. When you look back at the numbers and everything, we were living it. We were just, you know, punk kids doing our thing and playing a game. We were there at the right time with the right group of people, and we were able to accomplish great things.
Yeah, you were saying there about the step up. Now, everyone always talks about the step up from college to NFL, but determining which high school you come from and which college you end up at, sometimes that can be a greater jump than the actual jump into the pro football, can't it?
Yes. You know, going from college to pro wasn't a huge, huge jump as far as getting, you know, being used to the all the lights, the limelights, the people and things like that, because we played in some really, really big crowds, you know, bigger than some of the pro football crowds that we played in. The major difference, though, is the talent level. You know, no disrespect to college. You definitely have stars in college, but everybody in the NFL is a star. And, you know, the biggest difference there that I tell people, an analogy is, you know, when you catch a football in college, you know, and you're running, you get tackled, you know, one, two, maybe three people come and hit you. In the pros, you could be 2 inches above the ground and somebody's still coming and just missing you because everybody gets there and everybody's just that fast.
Yeah, everyone's, like I said, everyone in the NFL are all elite players. They've got their such a small percentage. So that's where your step up comes there. We always talk about rivals in the NFL. Playing at Notre Dame, who was your biggest team rival and who did the crowd always get pumped for more when they visited?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Michigan was always a big one. And during my tenure there, we always played Michigan first. So it was Michigan, Michigan State, beginning of the year. But being from Florida, nothing could compare to the Miami Hurricanes back then in the 80s. That was a huge, huge game, as well as USC. And then, you know, once you become number one, every game is somebody's there to take out, to try to knock you off the block, and you are always their best game. So, you know, you have to be, you can't take anybody lightly, and you better come into that stadium with your game face on and ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. So going into the NFL draft, you were the first in a first round pick, and you were the first tight end selected in that draft class, ahead of Johnny Mitchell. Now, going into the draft, did you see that as you being the highest selected tight end, or did you think you thought you were, but you weren't 100% depending on which teams were picking?
No, exactly that. You know, the draft definitely works kind of funny. Truth be told, I thought it was going to be a Redskin at number six. But they moved up from number six to number four to pick up Desmond Howard. So once that happened, then I had been in talks a lot with the Cleveland Browns. I thought I was going to go to Cleveland at ninth. They ended up picking Tommy Vardell, fullback, and then the Giants. So yeah, I mean, it's the draft is definitely a pretty funny thing because literally every 15 minutes you have the opportunity or the possibility to live in a completely different city, different, you know, zip code, different everything every 15 minutes. I mean, one minute you could be in, excuse me, in Ohio with Cleveland, and then the next minute you're in, you know, San Diego with the Chargers.
Yeah, so like you said, going into draft, obviously you do all your combine stuff, so you can talk to all the teams, have seen the video, you've had all your meetings, but actually on draft night, is it because of domino effect, like you said, they're Washington moving up, is the frantic phone calls going around in them 15 minutes from other teams phoning you and your agent?
No, absolutely. Fortunately, I was not in New York for my draft. I was in a hotel in Cocoa Beach, my home, with family and friends. But yeah, you know, there was definitely times, you know, my agent would call me like, hey, you know, this is what's going on here. This is what's going on there. You know, I was fortunate enough that I did get the call from Ray Hanley, the then head coach of the Giants, saying like, hey, we're getting ready to select you. You know, welcome to New York. Yeah, a lot of excitement, a lot of, you know, anxiety, too, at the same time. There's a lot of stuff going on. And it is, you know, it is just that, you know, it's life changing.
Yeah. What was also interesting, I was reading up on that draft, and I've seen a few clips. Both New York teams in the first round selected tight ends as well, with the Jets taking Mitchell.
Yeah, Johnny Mitchell, I think he was from Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Great tight end in his own right. Very we were kind of like tight ends of the mold of today. We were a little before a time where speed, we were more like receivers than blocking tight ends than they were at the present time.
Yeah, definitely. I think because obviously the tight end roles changed through the years. Obviously, we'll just discuss that in a second. Going into your rookie season, how did you feel it went for you? What were you hoping for to get out of that first season?
Well, I was hoping to get playing time first, just get on the field more than just, you know, scout team, right? Not scout team, but special teams. You know, back then, that was more the route that players took. It wasn't, you didn't jump right into a starting role like they do now, but you know, they have so much money invested into them. It's like, hey, we got to get some returns on our investment. You know, that's what I wanted. And obviously too, was to make a significant impact, be it contribute basically, be an asset to that team in every way, form. And also too, I mean, as a team goal was I wanted to have a winning team. Fortunately, that didn't happen. We were 6-10. But nonetheless, I did. That's one of the goals I had accomplished, was to make it to the NFL, and I did.
Yeah, you say that about, I say, it's all about playing time. And obviously, it's very different nowadays. If you're a first-round pick, depending on your position, you're pretty much starting when your season comes around. How different was training camps back then? Were you still, even though you were a first-round pick, was there still much of a fight up to make that final 53?
Not necessarily, but there was definitely the difference between training camps now and training camps then. I'm not gonna lie, they were so much tougher. They were, 100% tougher than they are now. From what we know now with concussions and things like that, training camp back then was actually like anywhere from a month to 6 weeks, and we were banging every day and we were getting after it every day. There was no such thing as, where they take the pads off and just uppers of those really light pads that they wear, was just all speed and timing. No, it was fundamentals. We were banging twice a day. For us, it would go 2 days of two-a-days and then 1 day of one-a-day. Let me tell you, it was just physically demanding.
Yeah.
Training camp,
and obviously like back then, and like I say, you mix it a bit more contact in training camp than there is nowadays, and that Giants team had some defensive players when you were around.
Bash by. Funny too, just the body types were different too, defensive ends. My first snap as a professional was against Reggie White when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. A young Reggie, so Reggie was probably like 305, 310, and had with the athletic, can run, but these dudes were big and strong. Now, defensive ends to me, they look like, they're 6'5", 270 pounds, 280. I'm not trying to discount them. I mean, they are freaks of nature, but I think I can handle that as opposed to one of those big 300 pound dudes.
Definitely some big smash in there. So, yeah, the disappointment of that season for Giants. But the second year, big improvement, not just obviously for yourself, but the team as well. You made the playoffs in that second season. Going out of the first season, was a bit of a... Because not much, too much change within the team personnel going into that second year. So, obviously, that helps all teams.
Yeah, so, no, it did. With us, actually, we did have somewhat of a difference. That was Dan Reed's first season with us. We did have some changes in personnel, but it was also a change really in the philosophy of offensive philosophy, especially where I became an H-back, more like a move around guy, as opposed to a stationary tight end, Aaron Pierce as well, Howard Cross as well. So there was a little bit of difference. Again, it was, as I stated, it was kind of it was a transition from old school to new school. So we weren't quite there where tight ends are today by far, but we definitely weren't where they were even a year before.
In that, so obviously with the philosophy change and stuff, and you're saying a bit more of a flexible role kind of thing, how did you find that? Did you enjoy the more movement in the players for the tight end role?
I did. It took a little while to get used to, as far as especially you had to flex out to a wide receiver. And then if you shift and have to come all the way in, your stamina changes a little bit. But it was neat. Also a lot of sets I got to be in the backfield with the quarterback and our sub packages. And what's good about that is, I look at it like this, and the older guys always told me, it's like the more you can do, right? So the more you can do, the longer you can stay in this game and stay, getting paid to play a kid's game. And so being a tight end, you kind of have to know every position. You got to know tackle. You got to know what the lineman doing. You got to know what the running back's doing. You got to know what the wideouts are doing. So being in that role, definitely it was demanding, but yet it was rewarding because I felt like I had an integral part where I had to, I was able to move around and be versatile.
Yeah, and you had the speed to back that up for yourself, didn't you, with the versatility? Because you were obviously quite a lot of speed in your college days and you brought that through into the pro game.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So obviously you made the playoff. Obviously, ended in quite soon in the playoffs. And then going into your final year in New York, probably didn't get as much tight end role as more special teams in that final year. Based on what had happened in your second year, did you feel a bit disappointed and not being used as much in a tight end role in that final year?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I absolutely do. When you get to that level, become a pro, obviously, once you get there, you have aspirations to do bigger and better things. And I absolutely, wanted more than what I got there. The philosophy, like you said, going to the right team, at the right time, we had a change in management, so to speak. I didn't quite fit their particular role that they wanted me in. Unfortunately, that's how it turned out. NFL football is a business like anything else. Just like everything else, just like IBM, just like, Google, it is a business, and you have different management teams, and you they have their beliefs, you have yours. And it's great when it does come together, you're able to accomplish, you're able to accomplish your goal, and they're able to accomplish theirs.
Yes, definitely. I say it's sometimes, it depends which way the wind's blowing sometimes, doesn't it? 1 minute business can be going one way and then some slight change and it's going the other way. But they always say for every downside, there's always an upside. And the following season, you were able to be selected by Jacksonville Jaguars in the expansion draft. And by being that, obviously, you were selected to be part of the newest franchise and something special. How did that feel for you?
That felt really good. Also, too, being from Florida, being able to have the opportunity to come home and play was definitely huge. And also being the first of an organization. And we'll go on to talk, that year, actually training camp, even though it was grueling, one of the hardest training camps I've ever been in my entire life. It ended up for me, I was on IR. I got hurt in the last preseason game. As a matter of fact, it was my breakout game. I had like three receptions and two other balls thrown my way, a touchdown. It definitely would have been, I found a home. I got hit in that game and ended up, broke a rib, collapsed the lung, bruised my kidney, cracked my spleen, some other stuff.
Yeah, it was quite a very, very serious injury against the Broncos. And a lot of concern over your health at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was very, very serious. A lot of internal bleeding. And, I was in the hospital for about 10 days from that. The only good thing that came from, the positive thing that came from that was the fact that I got to take a year off, build my body up. I got bigger and stronger than I had ever been before. And fortunately, I was able to play another 5 years after that.
Yeah, so it's the emotional part, obviously, of getting that injury. Was there any point in that year thinking, this could be me done? Did it ever cross your mind that you could be done?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm sitting in the hospital and I was just like, oh my God, what now? This is all I know. What happens? And, thankfully, I didn't need any surgeries, anything like that at that time, just basically a lot of rest for things to scar up and heal, the scar tissue to heal. One thing, too, that I remember, I had one of the assistant strength coaches, Jeff Hurd, pretty much worked with him one-on-one through that whole year. And I remember the first day I went outside to do some work on the field for the very first time. And I remember just looking out the field thinking like, oh my God, this field looks so damn big. It's like huge. Like, how am I going to do this? And Jeff was like, listen, here's how we're going to do it. I was concerned. I was just like, that was the first time I'd been outside in a long time. First time I'm going to start running. And he said, yeah, we're going to do a little bit today. Tomorrow, we're going to do a little bit more than we did today. We're going to do a little bit more, going to do a little bit more until finally it's not going to look so big. And, that's exactly what happened, and got back in shape, and I was, like I said, was able to play and be a part of that special 1996 Jaguar team that made it to the AFC Championship game in our second season ever. So, that stick-to-itness, you're going to have your ups and downs. I don't care what anybody says. Like, you can't be totally positive all the time, But, you know, even in the down times, I had to lean on some people to pick me up a little bit. And they did. And, you know, I got my mojo back.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. So, yeah, so you had your year off, got yourself fit, and then you came back for probably goes down as Jacksonville's second greatest season in current front in the history. Obviously, sure. They had the other year when they made the championship game a few years back. But to make it in the second year was phenomenal with a team what was built down in Jacksonville.
Absolutely. We were actually 3-7 or 3-6.
I think it was 3-6, weren't you, after the first nine?
We had the run, you know, we had a players-only meeting, and we said, look, guys, you know, it's up to us. If we're going to do anything here, it's up to us. And then we ran the table and literally became within, you could call it 3 or 4 plays from making the Super Bowl that year, you know, a block punt, an interception, and a fumble. And, you know, that game against New England, those things happen. We'd be in the Super Bowl right now. Who knows who would have beat Green Bay at the time, but hey, you know what? Though it still would have been a great run, I should say. And it was.
It was a fantastic run. And like you said, the team spirit to come from that record to still make the playoffs was phenomenal back then. Obviously, the players on your team, there was just stars everywhere. And also, I think nowadays in the game, you see all these teams with the stars, but sometimes they still they look after themselves. Whereas the Jacksonville 96 team, yes, there were stars on there, but you played as a whole, not just for Jacksonville Jaguars, but for the community.
Yeah, I tell you what, that team in 96, I always go back to that because to me, that felt like the closest like it was back when we were in college. We were together all the time. I mean, I remember, you know, we'd have practice Thanksgiving Day, and we got done with practice, yet guys were still in the locker room. You know, we were playing cards, hadn't even showered yet, you know, 2 hours after the practice. They were just hanging around to play in the locker room, playing cards and just being together. And then, you know, that's how it was that whole time. You know, we had our camaraderie every Thursday night. We'd go to one guy's house. We'd rotate, play cards. You know, the young guys would go out. The old guys would go home. but we were constantly together. We really did. It was a true team. We believed in each other. We trusted each other, and we had each other's backs.
Yeah, definitely. How was that year perceived in the community, like in the community of Jacksonville? Because obviously the home support for a new franchise was ridiculous. I think some NFL teams were jealous of how many fans they were getting through.
It was amazing. So you got to understand about Jacksonville, Florida. So Jacksonville, you are 2.5 hours away from University of Florida. You're probably another, I don't know, maybe within 4 hours away from Florida State, right? And then you have Georgia. So this is also, it's the South. They know football, all yeah. right? And they know winning football as well. So, you know, to have a winner in Jacksonville, it's tremendous. When we beat Denver in the divisional playoff game, and I remember when we came back, we did a flyover over the stadium. There was 40,000 people in the stadium, and it's like 1:30 in the morning. You know, they watched the game on the Jumbotron, and it was amazing. We get to the airport, you know, they're pounding on the gates and stuff like that, and, you know, screaming. We had a police escort to the stadium, and it was definitely something special.
Definitely was. And also maybe take facts from that. It was in the Broncos game where you went down the previous year to then get that sort of divisional win. Must have been also quite like full circle for you.
Yes. Matter of fact, you know what? I have a brother-in-law that lives in Denver, and he was a huge not Denver fan, but a Jaguar fan, obviously. And, you know, he told me that town, Denver, was like shook for a whole year. So Denver fans can thank Jacksonville for giving you those two Super Bowl runs, because had we not beat the brakes off you guys in 96 to wake up that sleeping giant, I don't know if that would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely Denver always been one of them giants until, like I say, a couple of years, but seems to be back in the doldrums again at Denver now. another solid year in 1997. Jacksonville made the playoffs again. But Denver obviously raised the head and got the revenge in the playoffs. How was the disappointment from the team that you were able to push on from that AFC game? Or was it, there was a few sayings in the team that a few players were starting to ready to make the moves on, and there's a few changes happening?
Yeah, you know, there's a few changes happening, but you know, once you get there, you know, to get to that game and to get to like a Super Bowl, you got to experience it once. I think it'd be very, very difficult for any new team, regardless. It could be an old team, but the first time there, to come away with a victory, because there's so much that goes into it. Even though you're doing the same stuff, your routine and your practices are the same, it's mentally draining. It takes a toll on your body, takes a toll on your mental. It definitely does. But however, once you get there once, you get a taste of it, and then you realize if you have that, you know, some veterans on your team that have been there before, you know, and you realize it, you know, I played 9 years, only made the playoffs 3. So that tells you how difficult it is to get to that particular game. So, you know, yeah, you know, were we disappointed? Absolutely. Because we had been there before. And once you get a little taste, you know, you want to taste it some more. And that's why we all play the game too. You know, you don't want to just play it. You're trying to get to the Super Bowl. It's the greatest thing, you know, the greatest game of all.
It's massive. It's obviously why you see a lot of players nowadays, if it's not going right from where they're drafted, they're making the moves because they want to get that opportunity. Yeah, like I say, just even to play there, just to get to that game, because the small percentage of people getting to the NFL, they're trying to get there, like you say.
Yeah, no, exactly.
In 98, you moved to the Raiders, and your spell came up. Were there any other options on the table? And if there was, why did you select the Raiders?
For me, there wasn't a whole lot, but also too, you know, to be a Raider was awesome. And after being there a year, John Gruden's first year was incredible. Loved playing for John. What you see is what you get. Same, you know, that's how practices were. That's how our meetings were. You know, being a part of Raider Nation, that also is obviously a storied organization as well. And actually, too, you know, to be able to play for Al Davis himself as well. To me, that was an honor. You know, it was a chance to live in Oakland, California as well. I think that move worked out for me. You know, I was there with Ricky Dudley. It was me, him. I think we had a kid, young guy that they drafted, like the fourth pick, Jeremy Brigham, who went on to play a little bit there as well. And, you know, we ended up being 8-8, but yet I think we were probably just we were an injury riddled team that year with, you know, we had was it Jeff George, our quarterback, went down. Napoleon Kaufman went down with knee injury. You know, we had some key injuries that knock it out. I mean, again, in order to get there, you got to be not only good, but you have to have a little bit of luck. And that luck comes in being healthy. You know, the team that's the healthiest is usually the team more than likely that's going to come out on top.
Yeah, you can lose a few games on the route to the playoffs and Super Bowl and get there, but you can't replace your talent in players. So when injuries start dropping, you don't have A replacements in every position, or if your A replacement goes down, you move on to your B, it so lowers you, obviously, your level of your team, which isn't the best. But it was an 8-8 season. There was some great football in that year. And I've seen the Raiders play 3 times. I've seen them twice in London and once in New York. And I haven't seen fans like theirs. No. They're the craziest fans.
Raider Nation, with the pageantry and the love that they would have for their Raiders, is unbelievable.
Yeah, and they've been through so much because they've been moved so much in the last 25, 30 years. And again, going into this season, hopefully with COVID now, fans will get to attend in Vegas, but that'll be full. There'll be more people at that stadium that probably live in Vegas on a Sunday.
The good thing is cheap flights from California to Vegas, so I don't have a problem. I think they'll be fine.
It's cheap flights, but it's expensive once you're there. After you've had a few beers, if you end up in any casinos.
You're right. Yeah, my son actually plays basketball in Vegas for UNLV, so I have many reasons to go there now.
Yeah, definitely. finished your career with Arizona in 99. Emotionally and mentally, how did this affect you? Did you know this would be your last year going into 99? Or was it something you made towards through the season?
Well, you know, fortunately, actually, in 2000 was actually my last year. Well, how I got my ninth year was I got released after the last preseason game going into the 2000 season, but then they brought me back midway through the season for 4 weeks. Right. That's how I lived in that ninth year. Was I mentally ready for it? No, you know, because by now I felt I was a better football player than in my middle years. I had found a great trainer out there. So physically I was definitely up to it. But unfortunately I was what they call a salary cap casualty where, you know, I was smart enough to know that like in business, everything is cyclical and the tight end was slowly becoming back in fashion again. I wanted to hang on long enough to ride that next wave of tight ends and what you see today. However, you know, for my minimum salary, you could pay three rookies. What are you going to do? So, you know, it was a business decision. I get it. It's a business. I was fortunate enough to play basically three lifetimes, you know, with the average career not being 3.5 years of a football player. So I made it 9. It was a great group of guys out there as well. And it doesn't stink to live in Arizona either. You know, that was very, very, very good. So, I loved it. Loved going to work there. Great group of guys, and I was fortunate enough to be a Cardinal as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice place. Played in some very warm states apart from New York.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't stink. I had a pretty good run, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So that first year after football, what did you decide to do? What did you think, I'm not playing football now? Did you take some time or did you need to fill your life with something?
Oh, I did. Occupied. My daughter was born in 99, then my son was born in 01. I didn't officially retire. I was about to retire, but then I guess they came up with a new rule regarding how they would the salary cap, how they would apply a veteran's cap number to the cap. So I was like, all right, I had stayed in shape. And I was like, all right, well, even though I was ready to retire, I said, okay, I'll give it one more year. If something happens, cool. If not, so be it. Did not happen. And so I pretty much for the first couple of years, I really didn't do anything. I stayed at home with my wife and we raised our kids, did a couple things. And after a couple of years, ended up me and a partner, a friend of mine from high school, my partner, we opened up a couple of the Quiznos sub stores in our area, and we ran those and, went from there to other things. But that transition was definitely, I'm not gonna say it was difficult, you know, it was difficult to some degree, but it was, I was thankful to have, you know, family and things like that around
me. Yeah. It's always a hard one switching over. Have you ever thought since retirement of getting into coaching either at college or NFL or even at high school level?
You know, it's funny. Obviously, I did coach my kids all the way up through their, you know, preschool, elementary. I coached my son in football, basketball, my daughter in basketball up until her to like sixth grade, my son up until like eighth grade. Once I was done with that, I thought about it, but I was exhausted. The mental exhaustion of being a psychologist, a sports psychologist to kids was just wearing on me. And also too, I mean, to be a coach too, that lifestyle, I was used to being around my family all the time. You know, yeah. I had coaches, they're never home. You know, you got to be married to the right woman. You got to have the right situation and the right people to support people around you. Not that I had the wrong ones, but for me, that was not my path. I think that, you know, I can help in other ways. You know, I can help with motivational speaking. I can help with, like right now, I'm an area director or director of operations for a friend of mine that owns like 14 Jersey Mike's subs. And I can reach in and reach out to people and team members that way and help them become better people, and, you know, whether they work for us or whoever, you know, down the road. So, you know, that's how I can get my quote unquote coaching and positive impact on young lives.
Definitely. Who would you say is the greatest player you've played with and your toughest opponent you've played against?
Wow. I would say one of the toughest opponents would be Bill Romanowski with Denver, as far as like one-on-one. I hated, he was never, you know, I know he got a bad reputation for being a real dirty, dirty player. Never was super dirty with me, but what I hated was his jersey was so damn tight. It had taken like 3 or 4 people to put his jersey on. And,
you know, stitched like football, him in.
Oh my God. And in football, a good block is a good hole. So right towards the, you know, again, towards the end of the second quarter, I can finally now start grabbing his jersey a little bit. Of course, now it's halftime. So what does he do? He just tightens everything back up again. So that was a pain in the butt to try to, you know, just to get to him that way. Wow. You know, I was fortunate enough to play with some really great players, you know, from LT to, you know, OJ Anderson, Phil Sims, Mark Brunell. It's for me, I can't really just say one because, yeah, like I said, during my tenure, I was able to see that I was at the end of old school and the beginning of new school. So, you know, I was in a locker room where guys were on a team for 8, 9, 10, 12 years and didn't go anywhere. There was no free agency except, you know, like plan B free agency. And then, you know, and then the beginning of free agency, what we kind of what we see today. So, you know, I'm thankful for that era. I'm thankful that I was able to see old school and new school. So I can't really say one particular person.
That's fine. How would you see the tight end position now and the current crop of tight end stars, as they call them?
Man, I tell you what, I wish my mother had me about 20 years later. I was built for today, that's for sure. I think. I think offensive coordinators finally got smart, you know, because they got these athletes in tight ends. You know, I remember, you know, we used to call them dummy routes, you know, whenever they split a tight end out near the goal line. You know, I was like, listen, man, I am 270 pounds, 6'6". Just throw the ball up. I'm going to block this guy out. He's not going to get to it. You know, it's either going to be intercept, it's going to be an incomplete pass, or it's going to be a touchdown. But it's nice to see the you know, like what Tony Gonzalez was able to do and Rob Gronkowski to help change the game and the way tight ends are looked at. You know, now that we're just hybrid receivers. You know, we're big receivers and little linemen. Now I guess we're part of the specialty, right? They're specialized.
Yeah.
My day, you either were a blocking tight end or a receiving tight end. You know, I was both, but like I said, at least I was still part of that transition, and I got paid to play a kid's game for 9 years.
Like, and you can't beat, like I said, the tight end position has changed so much, and like I said, they've probably brought in, like I said, you've got your different types, you've got your Gronkowski's with the power and the brute strength, and then you've got players like Hunter Henry, who brings a new dimension to it. Jonnu Smith, Kelsey, yeah. they all bring different stuff, but it's elevated that tight end position to being every team needs to have at least one good one, really great tight end. Now there's not one bad tight end in the starting 32 teams, and some have got 2, 3.
Yeah, you know, it creates mixed matches, right? Because, you know, they're either, you know, too big for some of the defensive backs, or they're too fast for some of the linebackers. But then again, now you see linebackers getting smaller and much, much, much faster. Football is an ever evolving game. You know, you got all these athletes out there now, and you have these super smart offensive coordinators where they're drawing up crazy stuff. You know, in my day, that passing tree was a definite thing where, you know, you ran up 10 yards, you ran in, you know, certain amount of yards, whatever. Now it's kind of like, hey, just get out in space, get open, stay open type of thing. So, you know, it is a beautiful thing to see. It's still the greatest sport, I think, that there is, and probably the last true team sport out there.
Yeah, it's definitely, I know they made a few changes to the game this year, like extra game stuff, but it's still only once a week. still only for a small period of the year. It's not like now against ice hockey and basketball, baseball, but they go on too long and they play like 3-4 times a week, which I know it's again, it's a marketing and money game, but it shows that the NFL is the most dominant physical game because they can physically only play once a week.
Exactly. And I tell people, I ask people, you know, when we start talking football, I talk to people and I say, you know, I ask a question like, you know, that 3-hour game you watch on TV, you know, how much actual action do you see? And they have no idea. They're like, oh, a half hour, 2 hours. I'm like, no, you watch about 7.5 minutes. That's it. You know, and it's like, you know, you want to talk about pressure. So if you are watch a game, average game, you have maybe 120 total plays. Of that, half of those are offense, half of those are defense. And then of that, how many of you are actually responsible for that you're at the point of attack? So it's like, you know, your margin for error is so, so, so small. Like you, there is no such thing as screwing up. You know, there is no, you know, you do not, you know, if not, they'll be finding somebody else to take your spot very, very shortly. That's why I love football and the fact that it takes all 11 guys to be on the same page at the same time to make a play successful.
Yes, it does. Just one final one before you go to, so you're still Jags through and through, obviously with everything what goes on, and you're a former tight end. I've got to ask you about the Tim Tebow move to tight end in Jacksonville.
Hey, look here, man.
When it first came out, everyone was like, publicity, but it gained legs and he signed a contract.
Yeah. You know what? It could be for publicity, but listen, I am all for it. You know, he has a relationship with that coach. You know, he has a history. You know, why not? He's kept himself in shape. I will never, ever argue with somebody, trying to accomplish their goals, their dreams. And you know what? I'm not going to mess with somebody. I'm going to get in that guy's pocket. That's his opportunity to make some money doing what he knows. So be it. You know, as a matter of fact, I will be actually at that game in London, Jacksonville against Dolphins. So hopefully I will see you then as well.
Yeah, season ticket all down under, so fingers crossed it's all going to go well. Disappointed we couldn't see him last year. Tebow, he's got the winning mentality. Urban Meyer's bringing that coach. Winning mentality as well. You've got Lawrence coming in with winning mentality.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a tough division. It's even tougher now. Titans have got Julio, but Jacksonville's definitely on the up now. And it could take a couple of years, but if it carries on the good progression they're going and building, it could be AFC Championship game 2-3 years.
Yes, possibly. It could be. But, you know, like as a football player, we say, like, why not now? Why not us?
Yeah. You know,
there's no rule saying that it has to be 2 or 3 years. And, all it takes is just a group of guys to believe it and to, you know, throw their hat in the ring, as they say. Anything's possible.
It is indeed. And that's why we love football over here. So it's been an absolute pleasure, Derek, to have you on the show and giving up some of your time to chat through your NFL career.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much, Derek. I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Cheers, you too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.